And welcome to the first episode of Cheater and the Roo.
Cheater and the Roo.
I'm Lee Papa.
And I'm Jeff Chrysler. We're going to be coming to you every Thursday at 8 p.m. right here on Progressive Radio Network. And, of course, you can also find us in the archives after each show.
And you'll be able to download the podcast, too, from both PRN, Progressive Radio Network, and from rudepundit.podbean.com.
And why not one more thing? We've got a Facebook page up there. We just started today. That's where we want your comments and feedback and hate mail. We do want hate mail, so give that to us.
No, Jeff wants hate mail. I only want love.
I have a Jewish mother that teaches me that love is hate.
So who is Jeff Chrysler?
I wanted you to go first.
You go first. Who is Jeff Chrysler?
Jeff Chrysler. Hi, everybody. I'm Jeff Chrysler. I am an author. I wrote a book called Get Rich Cheating, which is where the cheater comes from. It's all about the dirty, scummy things that people do to get rich in this world, which is just about everything. I'm also a comedian. I won some awards. I used to be a lawyer. I have acted in a play written by my hosting partner, which maybe we'll talk about someday down the road. I don't know. I had a lot of privileges growing up, and I've thrown them all away to pursue a life in satire. Sometimes I think maybe it's self-satire.
Yes, yes.
That's the short version of me. I want to see how long yours is.
Oh, well.
Speaking of, my partner on this new show is a young gentleman by the name of Lee Papa, who's also known as the blogger The Rude Pundit. Rude, would you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, me, I'm a transsexual Australian with a koala fetish, but I'll settle for a gay wallaby.
You could run for Senate in Delaware.
No. The truth is I'm an alien from another galaxy who came here to destroy your planet, but really now I'm just searching for love.
You could star in a sitcom.
I'm a wild-eyed conspiracy theorist who believes that 9/11 was caused by the lizard people in combination with the Greys, along with the ghost of Richard Nixon.
You're Michelle Bachmann.
I'm a tunnel-dwelling homeless man. I can't even read my own list here.
Sorry, I can't even listen to it. By the way, we do not prepare our material, so this is, well, he prepares his material.
I'm a tunnel-dwelling homeless man who sells rat meat to the public schools and Bobby Flay.
You're Bobby Flay.
Yes, I am, in fact, Bobby Flay. I think I just slandered Bobby Flay, but, you know.
No, you said and Bobby Flay.
Yes, and I'm Bobby Flay.
You're like the Sybil of white guys.
Actually, I'm a wheelchair-bound high school girl who dreams of being a Broadway singer.
You are the guy in the backseat middle of that stoner movie back in the 90s, the Dazed and Confused.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? I just want to dance, man.
Yes, yes.
That's you.
Welcome to showing your age to everybody. And but mostly I'm the blogger, as Jeff said, that writes something called The Rude Pundit, and I just released my first Rude Pundit book, The Rude Pundit's Almanac, with all your Rude Pundit needs, Rude Pundit. And it's available from OR Books, who also published the well-known book, Going Rouge, which was an attack on Sarah Palin. And but you can buy the book at orbooks.com.
I would like to just chime in and say that the people that published my book, Get Rich Cheating, also published Going Rogue, the actual book by Sarah Palin. It was published by HarperCollins because beggars choosers. And I'm actually they're lovely people. But listen, enough about who we are. That's who we are. We'll talk, I'm sure, more about our lives and our professional pursuits outside of the radio show as this progresses. But there's a lot to get to. And just to give you guys a hint of how this show is going to work, we don't know. You know, we have some topics we're probably going to try to touch on today, and occasionally we'll have prepared material, kind of bits. Occasionally we'll just talk and see where it goes. Maybe we'll have guests, and eventually you'll be able to call in for a segment called
Do You Want to Be Abused by the Hosts?
Yeah, we'll come up with something pithier than that, but the idea is don't call in. And it's going to be fun. We do honestly want your feedback on our Facebook thing, or if you know us, our websites, to let us know kind of what you think we should do with the show. We'll maybe get some video up there soon. We'll have some stuff on the Progressive Radio Network website where you can, you know, buy our junk and play games.
Hey,
maybe.
Jeff.
Hey, Lee.
I don't mean to stop your shilling there, but how about that Wisconsin debacle?
Let us discuss Wisconsin, because there's nothing else really going on in the news right now.
Nothing else that
that really incites, I think, both of our passions as much as that. So I know one of the reasons I got into law before I gave that all up was to kind of work in labor issues and in getting people united against the powerful and the corrupt.
You see, I didn't know that. I didn't know that, and now I feel just a little bit closer to you.
How do you feel about the Wisconsin thing, Lee?
Well, I think that that the governor of Wisconsin, to me, looks like the guy who's driving a van and trying to get children into it with candy. And what happened last night, in case you don't know what happened last night... Well, what happened was that hopefully you've been following the Wisconsin... The debate in Wisconsin over workers' collective bargaining rights. What happened was last night the Republicans in the state Senate in Wisconsin decided that they found a way to have a vote on the collective bargaining rights part of the budget. The budget bill that the governor
proposed.
So they
basically found a little loophole, as they would have called it when it referred to reconciliation for the health care.
Yes, no, reconciliation was wrong, man.
Oh,
what
right.
The fuck is wrong with you? Reconciliation is, it's something that only communists, socialists, fascists, and Zoroastrians do.
This is true. That is why what they did in Wisconsin was not reconciliation. It was just very, very similar. Therefore, similarity is a way of translating something from fascist to awesome. Correct?
Sure. Man, I would love to translate fascist to awesome.
Let's get boots.
Yes. So what happened was that the state Senate passed it through while a Democrat that was from the state assembly was protesting at a joint committee meeting and saying, "Wait, whoa, you need 24 hours of public meeting notice." And they just shut him the hell down. So now the assembly passed what the Senate passed, and Governor Cross Eyes is going to sign it, and collective bargaining rights will be taken away from Wisconsin workers who have had it for 50 years, and it was the first state in the union to have public employee collective bargaining rights.
Wisconsin, of Feingold history, Wisconsin, starting the unions. I think they've learned their lesson by
now.
Yeah,
I think Robert La Follette is not just rolling over in his grave. I think he's trying to crawl out right now to strangle Scott Walker.
Well, he could do that, except the cheater part kind of agrees. What has going it together ever gotten anybody? What has collectiveness ever gotten anybody? America's found on individualism, like going it alone. History's heroes have always left a group behind to make their mark and to advance society. Sting left the police. Right. Beyonce left whatever that thing was. Judas. Like, all these people that went it alone made a difference. What has collectiveness ever gotten people? Healthcare, rights, and no child labor? Like, who cares about that stuff?
No. You know what? Health insurance, vacation. You know what? You know who goes on vacation, just to go with your whole cheating analogy?
Tell me.
Only people that go on vacation are welfare queens. Welfare queens and welfare kings, they're lazy. They want to go on vacation.
They don't even go on vacation. Their life is vacation. Oh, look at me. I have diabetes, and I'm sick, and I lay at home, and life is terrible all the time while they barely work. They don't even work only 9 months like the teachers do, only 9 months until 3 o'clock with like a couple weeks off for spring break. Give me a these teachers help. What have teachers ever done? Who have teachers ever raised to be good people? All right, I'm done. I don't like that.
were you starting to feel extra sleazy there?
I once made a list of all the people that didn't finish school to kind of make some sort of point, but I just kind of felt dirty because...
Did you just feel a little sad because you saw all those people that were highly successful that had never finished school? And
yes, and I have more schooling than necessary to host Cheater and the Rude on Progressive Radio Network every Thursday at 8 p.m.
So what's been going on is throughout the states there's been just this coordinated attack on workers' rights. Did you hear about the Michigan bill? Did you hear the Michigan one? The Michigan bill is awesome. The Michigan bill is Michigan Senate passed, and the Assembly is going to pass, and the governor is going to sign a bill where an emergency financial director can come into the towns and go into cities who meet a certain threshold for a financial emergency, and that person appointed by the governor can go in and just shit can everybody in the city council and the mayor, and they can. And they can change the budget themselves. They can cancel all union contracts, including with teachers.
Well, why a state like Michigan? Why would they need union rights? What has the state of Michigan, particularly the city of Detroit, ever done that needs, oh wait, that's right, one of the great American industries, which now may be dying or coming back. Good point. There's tons of stuff. I will say this, while their effort, the Democrats in Wisconsin effort to leave and kind of put it off, has at this point not borne the fruits they would have wished, and the bill has passed, at least they brought publicity to this, which who knows how long it'll last. You know, American Idol's going to go into the final soon. But they brought attention to it because there are these other states like Michigan. A friend of mine, Kevin Hagler, down in Georgia told me Georgia has a ton of crazy bills. They're losing union rights. They have a profile bill like Arizona. They've got a birther bill down there, an anti-Sharia law bill. Like, all these states are pushing these things, and at least now we have a way, sort of a shorthand, to refer to them and get it in the public, you know, dialogue.
And I love Republicans coming up with bills that are just in case Muslims should ever take over the United States, just in case Glenn Beck is right, don't worry, we'll be able to stand up to the caliphate with our mighty legislation from Georgia
and the mighty armed school kids who, when they don't get to pick for a kickball, will have their guns to get their First Amendment remedies. Second Amendment.
Concealed guns.
Yeah, they don't like the First Amendment. They don't like the part of the First Amendment that is the right to assemble. Have you noticed it's sort of been an attack on groupings of people?
Yes.
Unions, King's hearings, which maybe we'll talk about later, about the groupings of Muslims together.
That scares me.
And, well, it's, you don't like shawarma. And too soon. And some other groupings of people. There was, I forgot my point, so if you have something to say.
I'd like to say, Katie, I would like a swoosh.
What does that swoosh mean?
It means it's time for our first crazy off.
Crazy off, crazy off.
No.
Monkeys in my pants, it's a crazy off.
That was brilliant. Did you just come up with that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Believe it or not, monkeys in my pants, I pulled out of my pants.
Wow. The crazy off is that each week, one of us will take some crazy person in the news.
What about crazy versus crazy? Remember those Mad Magazine things? That was
spy versus
what about
spy.
Crazy versus crazy?
You don't like crazy off? You prefer crazy versus...
We can do that. Let's see how it goes.
Katie? Could we have a swoosh again? It's crazy versus crazy!
Crazy versus crazy!
And in Crazy versus Crazy this week,
Michelle Bachmann
and Sarah Palin.
The Rude is going to take the position that Michelle Bachmann is crazier this week. Oh, by the way, this is only based upon things that they've done between the Thursdays. All these crazy offs is not an overall body of work. It's just between the Thursdays.
There's rules in a crazy.
Absolutely.
It's not a crazy off. It's a crazy versus crazy.
Oh.
Do you want to go back to crazy off?
Whatever conveniently comes to mind when I'm talking.
Katie, we need a swoosh. It's a crazy off!
Crazy off!
I've got Michelle Bachmann.
I've got Sarah Palin.
Would you like to go first?
No, I would not like to go first.
Oh, well then I'll start with Michelle Bachmann. Michelle Bachmann was all over the news this week talking about the healthcare bill, and she had one point to make that she made repeatedly on several different shows, and that was this, and I'm quoting her from Meet the Press. It is shocking, the revelations of all the money that's been spent. There was a Congressional Research Service report that was just issued in February, and we discovered that secretly, unbeknownst to members of Congress, over $105 billion was hidden in the Obamacare legislation to fund the implementation of Obamacare. This is something that wasn't known. This money was broken up, hidden in various parts of the bills, and we have worked very hard to discover $61 billion in cuts that we could put forward, get to the president. So in effect, David, we've taken one step forward and two steps back because we've found now that $105 billion had already been implemented.
That doesn't sound crazy. That just sounds dumb.
Yes, but what's crazy about it is it was there in the bill, and it was startup money for the bill.
So are you saying she's crazy because she didn't read the bill?
I'm saying she's crazy because she's saying that perfectly legitimately funded appropriated funds are actually something that is, and this is her word, describing the Obama administration, gangster. Luckily, she said gangster and not gangsta.
Lee, Michelle Bachmann is a little nuts, so I'll give you that, and she's probably a danger, but she's not crazy. Not when you compare her to what Sarah Palin did this week. One simple thing Sarah Palin did. She took on Kathy Griffin.
What?
Yeah. Sarah Palin decided to face down the barrel of empty, vacuous nothingness that can rivals only her empty, vacuous nothingness. Apparently, Kathy Griffin's going to play a role of a tea partier in Glee, which all of those words make me sort of cry and weep. But, and Sarah Palin said, Kathy Griffin can do whatever she wants to me because, you know, she's a 50-year-old adult bully. That's really what she is. She's a has-been comedian. She can say these things to me. What frightens me and makes me realize just how crazy Sarah Palin is that both she and Kathy Griffin are pure figments of empty publicity. They got a little bit of something. They're not good at what their stated profession is, comedian or political-ish person, but they've created this aura of bleh around them so that we have to pay attention to them all the time. All they are is they're sensationalists, and so they're both empty. They're both essentially like black holes of substance. So what she's bringing on by having a head-to-head against Kathy Griffin, it's two black holes approaching each other, which could be worse than the Hadron Collider in Switzerland, could cause the end of the universe. This is crazy. This is suicidal. She is willing to reverse time and to make us all a tiny speck on the tip of a wave of Bristol's dancing chub. I didn't have an ending.
You know, you sort of climaxed early there with that black. However, you do assert that's craziness.
That is pure insanity. Willingness to take the, it's like a pilot taking down a plane because they're hungry.
All right, I will raise you then and continue with just this single interview with Michelle Bachmann on Meet the Press this past Sunday, where no matter what the question was that David Gregory asked, Michelle Bachmann always brought it back to the same point. David Gregory asked, "Has House Speaker John Boehner failed the Tea Party?" And Bachmann says, the main message that's going across the internet today among members of the Tea Party, they are outraged about this $105 billion that was deceptively put in the Obamacare bill. Again and again and again, every question that Gregory asked, it was $105 billion.
Fair point. However, Sarah Palin made Michelle Bachmann possible. Check and mate. We need to end. I don't know if that's checkmate.
Can we get a swoosh, Katie? We need a swoosh. Wow, that
was Katie, that, everybody. How about if everyone at home could just clap in their underwear while listening to internet radio for Katie?
No. I really liked that previous music. That was Jeff was actually sort of doing a little samba in here.
That is probably the most appropriate ending to Crazy Off possible.
Yes. However, I would, just because it makes me happy. It makes me think that it's like the sound of the brain going crazy. Give me one more swoosh. Yeah.
Sounds a little bit like Nike.
So since you won the Crazy Off, Jeff, I believe you get to choose the next topic.
I would like to talk to something near and dear to my heart, and that is insider trading. I want to talk about the Raj Rajaratnam Galleon insider trading case.
I'm afraid you're going to have to tell me about that like I'm stupid.
Explain it to you like you're stupid? All right, everyone. I will explain briefly what's going on in this trial. First of all, as someone who studies financial crime and cheating, this is fantastic. This is a wonderful example of what you can do when you have the resources to cheat your way into millions. Basically, it is a trial for this guy, Raj Rajaratnam, who runs a hedge fund called the Galleon Corp, or company, or hedge fund. Who knows? It's Galleon's in there. And he's accused of insider trading, basically getting information from a whole network of people that know what's going to happen in their company and then acting on it to make profit. Insider trading is basically using its non-public material information. For instance, one of the accusations is that a guy who was on the board at Goldman Sachs heard that Goldman Sachs was going to be invested, that Warren Buffett was going to invest, I think, $5 billion in Goldman Sachs. Right after he heard that, he made a phone call to Raj Rajaratnam. Right after that phone call, Raj Rajaratnam bought tons of Goldman Sachs stock, and then once the news came out, he made a tidy little profit.
Now, if I remember my Charlie Sheen movies correctly, and I think I do,
mm-hmm.
In Wall Street, that was wrong.
That was wrong in Wall Street, but there this time is no leggy model like Daryl Hannah. And the people aren't quite as sympathetic as they might have seemed in Wall Street. What is sort of depressing to me is the small amount of money that he insider traded for compared to his worth. Like, there's something sort of gross about hedge funds, and in a way I hope that this trial kind of brings into the light what hedge funds are all about. Hedge funds, even their name, hedge, is sort of symbolic because it's like a shrubbery. It's like a hedge that separates the cesspooly street of poverty from the manicured lawns of prosperity. A hedge fund, it basically manages people's money, big investment money. And hedge fund managers have what they call 2 and 20. That means they get 2% of the total value of the hedge fund, no matter how it does, and then they get 20% of the profits. 20% of the profits, maybe that makes a little sense. It's like an agency fee, you know, you book a commercial, you get whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But no matter how something does, they get 2% of the value. So these guys, I don't know the exact number, but it's a multi-billion dollar hedge fund that Rajaratnam manages. So let's say it's just $1 billion. Just by sitting there and doing nothing, he makes, what's 2% of a billion? 20 million?
Sure.
I think it's more than that. 200 million?
2% of a billion would be 20 million.
We're not here for math, people. We're here for words.
Yes.
So that's kind of sick. Like, they don't have to do anything, and yet, because the money keeps coming in, he's possessed by this drive that all these cheaters have, that once you get away with it, once you find something sneaky, once you figure out the trick of the game, to keep getting more and more. And that's what he did. He kept getting more and more from all these people. And it's going to be fascinating, because a lot of people have turned state's evidence, or federal evidence, whatever you call it, and have testified.
So is this in any way connected with the fleecing of America by Wall Street?
It is. Not, yes, everything is connected. It's evidence that the people that are in charge of the financial industry and our country's economic future are not driven by altruism. And more than that, what has really happened is we have an entire generation of people, brilliant people, that have put their brilliance not towards curing polio or creating the Peace Corps or anything altruistic, but to moving money around. All these guys, all this hedge fund is moving money around. Instant trades. Trades like within a second, in and out.
So just to take another spin on this, what you're telling all of America, indeed, because this is the internet, all of the world,
mm-hmm.
is that despite all of the hedge fund managers and the partners in various firms that were involved in defrauding the American people, the one person who's getting punished right now is the brown guy.
Yeah, that was part of Peter King's plan. You see, when brown investment bankers get together,
yes.
they obviously plot to destroy America.
I don't know that he's Muslim, but we'll just...
Aren't the hearings saying all brown people do not develop jowls of whiteness when they are older are therefore evil? Isn't that what Peter King is talking about?
Are you talking about Peter King's jowls? What exactly are you referring to with the Peter King references?
Peter King... I don't have use the colorful language you do, but something involving an anus would make me think of Peter King in general.
You know, think of another story that was in the news this week. I think Peter King is a fucksaw.
I'm not reading the same news sources as you.
You didn't read about the guy?
The F-saw? No,
yes,
what is that?
Yes, the guy. The Rude Pundit probably won't be here next week. But about the professor who was teaching a sex class in I think it was Northwestern and
you would be up on
what's that? Oh, thank you. Thank you, Katie.
Katie's fact-checking.
Katie knows the fucksaw story.
Well, what's interesting to me, before you even finish, is
yes.
I already know what you probably have a Google alert for professors and inappropriate sexual activity, don't you, Lee?
Yes, yes, I do.
Because Lee is a professor at an unnamed college in this area.
Oh, I'm at the College of Staten Island. I will proudly say that. It is a City University of New York school.
It's a beautiful school, by the way.
It is a lovely campus because it's a former mental institution.
This is true. Listen, we are speaking of beautiful people.
Finish with Peter King. Peter, what exactly is Peter King doing?
Peter King is, of course, leading the hearings for, I forget what it's called, for the problem
Muslim,
with the Muslims.
Muslim extremist hearings that started today, or maybe they were only today.
Which, among the obvious and very layered hypocrisy, is the fact that Peter King himself supported a terrorist organization, the IRA. And
which was, by the way, the Irish Republican Army.
Well, he probably didn't do any research. Like, Michelle Bachmann doesn't read bills. He just, Republicans, this is his accent, by the way, from now on. Let's support him. They're over in the other land, matey. Everything becomes a pirate with me eventually.
All leprechauns become pirates. So he was holding these hearings, a great deal of consternation to many Muslim Americans, in that it was just a sort of blanket accusation of Muslims in America that somehow just by having the word Muslim in their religion, they were going to automatically be tied with extremists. Just like I always thought all Irish people want to blow up school buses.
Yes. Well, there is some truth. I think we'll probably talk more about him. He boils my blood beyond reason. Especially like we're in New York, which always one side in particular tries to stake claim to having a special right to defend this country because they're near New York. What I just find particularly amazing is the fact that we're focusing. What about all the other groups of people that have caused terrorism? You know, what about white extremists? What about the Ku Klux Klan? What about Republican women that wear red blazers? Aren't these groups that have produced as many dangerous people to our country as the Muslims? Like, what is the percent of Muslims that I'm speechless. This guy, his jowls, his ugly little punch me face, and the way he talks just make me lose all reason.
Wow.
Speaking of ugly faces.
Yes.
I did want to, I think that just so that our listeners can get an idea of what we're all about and who we are as we start to wrap up the show. There was some interesting thing. Ensign just announced he wouldn't run for...
Right. Newt Gingrich announced that he would run.
Right.
Well, that he's seriously thinking of running for president, but he's not going to let us know until June. So Keep buying his books to make him interested.
And both of these characters, of course, have a history of infidelity.
Yes. Lots of infidelity.
And look, there's infidelity on both sides. Admittedly, there's only one side that claims to be about the moral high ground.
You know what? I think the more important question here is, you know, since they are often compared, who would you rather do? Would you rather do Newt Gingrich or Bill Clinton?
Bill Clinton. And that's not a political thing. I actually heard him speak recently. He's very charismatic. I feel like whatever I was feeling, pain or suffering, tears, he would make it be okay.
Really? Would you think he'd hold you after?
Yeah. Give me another one.
David Vitter or Elliot Spitzer. They were both involved with prostitutes.
Yeah. Spitzer, kinky.
Spitzer,
clearly.
Good. John Ensign or John Edwards?
Edwards. This is, again, I'm finding myself going all
Democratic.
You're
all going Democratic. What's with you?
I think he's dreamy. I think he would smooth talk.
Really?
He'd make it romantic.
Really? So you're political party monogamous?
Apparently, when it comes to smooth, I like my coffee like I like my cheating politicians. Hot and in
I'm
my
gonna,
lap.
I'm going to save David you right Sparks now joke. And say thanks very much for listening to the first episode of Cheater in the Rude. We'll be on, at least Jeff will be on next week. And we'll be back next Thursday at 8 p.m. This is Lee Papa.
This is Jeff Kreiser. Go to our Facebook page. Let us know you listened. Tune in every week. Tune in to the other shows here on Progressive Radio Network. Shoot us some emails. Send us some tweets. What about the night? And I guess that's it.
Good night.